Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Thursday, January 23, 2025. We'll have news, sports, we'll have plenty of music because today's Musicians' Day to mark the birth anniversary of one of the most important musicians ever to hail from Argentina, Luis Alberto Spinetta, the late Luis Alberto Spinetta, who passed away almost 13 years ago. Well, today is his birth anniversary in the year 1950, and he was so influential and so important that after his death, this date was declared the Musicians' Day. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. At the Davos Economic Forum, President Milei called wokeism a cancer. Milei would withdraw Argentina from Mercosur to sign a free trade deal with the US. Trump's administration recognizes Edmundo González Urrutia as Venezuela's president. President Milei met with Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky in Davos. At Davos, Panama's president rejected Trump's statements about the canal. Sports: Argentina's handball team eliminated from the World Cup. And these are the news. President Javier Milei stated that the dominance of woke leftist ideology is starting to crumble globally. However, he warned that the battle for freedom, as he called it, is far from over. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, he labeled wokeism as a cancer that must be eradicated. He accused it of infiltrating universities, international organizations and governments. He also criticized feminism, gender ideology, abortion, diversity and environmentalism as all part of the same collectivist agenda that opposes Western values. He praised ideologically aligned leaders such as Italy's Giorgia Meloni and the United States' Donald Trump. President Javier Milei revealed he would remove Argentina from Mercosur if necessary to sign a free trade agreement with the United States. In an interview with Bloomberg, he clarified that he does not believe it will be necessary to leave the bloc. Mercosur includes Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Bolivia. He stated the agreement with the US can be achieved without leaving Mercosur. The president added that his administration is exploring ways to embrace international trade to promote prosperity. And the US government officially recognized Edmundo González Urrutia as Venezuela's president. The announcement came via the State Department Undersecretary Marco Rubio. According to the statement, Rubio held talks with González Urrutia and opposition leader María Corina Machado. In this official message, the U.S. government reaffirms its support for restoring democracy in Venezuela, and it also demands the release of all political prisoners. González Urrutia has been recognized by Argentina and other governments as the winner of Venezuela's July 28 election. However, Venezuela's electoral authorities declared Nicolás Maduro the winner, granting him a third term. President Javier Milei held talks with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Davos, Switzerland. Zelensky later shared a photo of the meeting and thanked Argentina for its support of Ukraine amid the war with Russia. The Ukrainian leader highlighted discussions about achieving a just and lasting peace. Zelensky also praised Milei's reforms, stating, "We are pleased that Javier is achieving the changes he planned." President José Raúl Mulino of Panama reiterated his country's sovereignty over the Panama Canal. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, he rejected recent remarks by U.S. President Donald Trump, who claimed his country would take back the canal, alleging Chinese control over it. Mulino firmly stated that the Panama Canal belongs to Panama and will remain Panamanian. And now, sports. Argentina's national handball team, Los Gladiadores, was eliminated from the World Cup after a 34-23 loss to Slovenia. The tournament is being held in Croatia, Denmark, and Norway. Meanwhile, Boca Juniors started its 2025 Copa Argentina campaign with a 5-0 win over Argentino Montemayor. The Buenos Aires team scored through Ezequiel Ceballos, Miguel Merentiel, Luca Hanson, Milton Jimenez, and Kevin Zenón. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentin.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Let's play a little bit of tango music, and this is a very appropriate track, considering that we are in the middle of the summer here in Buenos Aires, well, in the southern hemisphere. Astor Piazzolla wrote a suite called the Porteño Seasons, the four seasons of Buenos Aires City. Porteño, may have heard me mentioning the term, is a word that describes those from Buenos Aires or things from Buenos Aires. Like a local of Buenos Aires is known as a porteño. So there is a porteño winter, porteño spring, porteño autumn, and we are now in the middle of the porteño summer, and that's what we are going to play. Verano Porteño, Porteño Summer by Astor Piazzolla.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Astor Piazzolla live with Verano Porteño, the summer of Buenos Aires City. And now we are going to be sharing a piece that we recorded several years ago, but it still applies because it's basically music and information about Luis Alberto Spinetta, whose birth anniversary is marked today, January 23. He would have turned 75 today. Wow, well, he passed away in 2012. He didn't make it to 65, unfortunately, but he left a wealth of music from all of the various groups that he founded and his solo career. And a few years ago, somebody started the tradition of calling his birth anniversary the Day of the Musician, and that's what we are marking today. So happy day to anyone who is a musician or wants to be a musician or plays an instrument, and we'll be sharing this gift, the music of Luis Alberto Spinetta. And after that, we'll have a piece on Buenos Aires sites, part two of this documentary called Dear Buenos Aires, that you can find on YouTube in its entirety.
If you're listening to our voice, we have attained our goal to be equal, free, in agreement, identifiable, and honest. RAE Argentina.
We're going to do now a profile of a key artist in Argentine rock music, Luis Alberto Spinetta, who was born in the year 1950 and passed away in February 2012, an early, unexpected, and very tragic death that, fortunately, in the case of this artist, at least, has left us with a wealth of music. And we're talking of an artist that is considered to be one, if not the most influential or the most innovative in Argentine music. This is somebody who was always ahead of his time, or always experimenting and advancing his own music. He never repeated himself. Apart from his creativity, the man was a really talented poet, songwriter, singer, and guitarist, a man of many, many talents. And what we are going to do is to go over the music, or some of the most representative songs of his 40 years of music. His first group was in the 1960s, and that band, called Almendra, which means almond, is considered to be one of the three foundational groups of Argentine rock: Almendra, Manal, and Los Gatos. And Spinetta was the leader of this one of these three bands called Almendra. This is a track from them, The Hands of Fermin.
También gira y da más vueltas. Pobrecito Fermín, quiere ser feliz, gira y da más vueltas. En el hospicio de Alán, agua, sol, Fermín, sabe la serrín,
giran y dan vueltas. Hoy tú tristes al sol, quieres ser real, aunque no lo creas.
Almendra, there, with Fermín, o Las Manos de Fermín, one of the many, many classic songs that this band released in the second half of the 1960s. A whole generation of young Argentines were inspired by the poetry, by the style of Almendra, a really, really influential band. And that's why we have prepared not just one, but two songs by them. This is another of their hits called Ana Does Not Sleep. Ana no duerme. Well, the first band then that Luis Alberto Spinetta created was this one, Almendra, from the second half of the 1960s. And the band disbanded. They had a few comebacks in the 70s and 80s and in 2009, but we'll talk about that later on. But Spinetta continued to his following project. In this case, he decided to go a little more hard, a little more heavy, and create a band that was akin to the sound of Led Zeppelin-ish. Not exactly the same, but definitely more hard rock. I'm talking about Pescado Rabioso. Let us enjoy this track. I like that lit.
Thank you.
Pescado rabioso, with me gusta ese tajo, es a bit improper, the translation, but it's actually, I like that woman's vagina. That's the way it is. Actually, the song called is Lunfardo Way, and it's very direct. It's a provocative track from the early 1970s. Now, nobody bats an eye for this, but you can imagine that 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, actually, well, it was quite provocative and innovative. But we're talking about Luis Alberto Spinetta and his art throughout 40 years plus with music. And among many things that he did, he's the creator of what is considered to be the best album of art and then rock of all times. According to critics, I'm not talking about sales, but everybody who's got a respected opinion in music says that Artaud, like Antonin Artaud, the French writer, is the best album of all times. A piece released by Spinetta in 1972 under the moniker, because of contract things, Pescado Rabioso, but actually the members of the original Pescado Rabioso were long gone by then. It's actually a completely solo project by Luis Alberto Spinetta, but it is released as Pescado Rabioso. There are many songs you can pick from an album that is considered to be the best of all times in Argentine rock. It's a conceptual album, but the songs are simply fantastic. And perhaps the most representative track from that album is this one, They Go Down or Bajan, Luis Alberto Spinetta on Rai.
Tengo tiempo para saber si lo que sueño concluye en algo. No te apures, ya más loco, porque es entonces cuando las horas
that is Bajan or They Go Down, a track by Luis Alberto Spinetta, included in Artaud, this album with a green, famous green cover that is considered to be the best Argentine rock album of all times, released in 1972. Next in the career of Spinetta comes Invisible, and this is an experience of Spinetta with jazz rock. Is much, much softer and sophisticated than Pescado Rabioso. It's less in-your-face classic hard rock, but more experimental. And everybody remembers particularly one song by Invisible, one of the many bands that Luis Alberto Spinetta created, and is the one that names their 1975 album Durazno Sangrando, which means bleeding peach. And that was Invisible, a band created by Luis Alberto Spinetta that released this album in 1975 called Durazno Sangrando. It's got another famous cover of a peach. It looks like a peach. It's very conceptual. And the album has got a song of the same name, which is the one we just played. Now, fast forward to the early 1980s and Spinetta, late 1970s as well, Spinetta created a band called Spinetta Jade, from which we are going to enjoy this track. It's a slow ballad, a soft song called Maribel se durmió, or rather, Maribel fell asleep. Now, fast forward to the early 1990s, obviously in the middle, Spinetta started his purely solo career, but we are going to now move on to perhaps his most famous song in 20 years, in the 20 years of his solo career, which is this one, from early 1990s, 1991, Seguir Viviendo Sin Tu Amor, To Keep On Living Without Your Love. Luis Alberto Spinetta, we're doing a profile here on Siempre Argentina, The English Connection, on RAE. Well, there are almost 20 more years in the career of Spinetta, but we're stopping here for a matter of time. We could play Spinetta for hours and we wouldn't be boring you. There will be always something to discover. But what I wanted to say is that 3 years, no, not even 3 years, a little more than 2 years before he passed away, he gave a concert at Vélez Sarsfield Stadium that made history, in which he brought all of the musicians that played with him, and for only one night, all of the bands that we have just played came on the stage for only one night. Is an album that you can find under the name Spinetta and Las Bandas Eternas, or The Eternal Bands. Well, the concert also made history because it was almost 6 hours long. Spinetta on RAE, a profile we brought you today.
RAE. Connected to Argentina's history.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentine, mieux se dire.
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE. Argentina al mundo.
The final foundation of Buenos Aires was carried out by Juan de Garay on the present Plaza de Mayo, which has always been the essential center of the country's public affairs. During the colonial period, Plaza de Mayo was the civic and commercial heart of the city, constantly transited by authorities, businessmen, military men, and common people. It was also the place where criminals condemned to death were killed, and during the civil wars, the official scenery for many public executions. At all times, Plaza de Mayo has been the venue of mass meetings and demonstrations to celebrate, as well as to support or criticize governments of different political parties. The plaza, which covers 2 hectares, underwent several modifications over time. Its present design dates back to 1900, when it was remodeled by the landscape designer Carlos Thays. In its center stands the first monument ever erected in Argentina, the Pirámide de Mayo, the May Pyramid, built to commemorate the first anniversary of the May Revolution. Originally, it was a simple hollow obelisk, 15 meters high, crowned by a ball as shown in old engravings and watercolors. Its present appearance is the result of changes made in 1857. It is around 19 meters high and encloses the first pyramid from 1811. It is topped by the Statue of Liberty, which shows a quiet attitude and broken chains at her feet, but is ready for defense, with a lance in the right hand and a shield resting on the left. The other monument on the square is dedicated to General Manuel Belgrano, creator of the national flag. Its pedestal is united by a granite surface to the mast where the flag waves. When the sun sets, the flag is lowered by a group of soldiers from the historic regiment Granaderos a Caballo, which, as custodians of the President of the Nation, are responsible for guarding the neighboring government house. The central government headquarters are located in the so-called Casa Rosada, built on the site once occupied by the Fort of Buenos Aires, seat of governors and viceroys during the Spanish domain. Its history is rich in refurbishing and additions, but its present aspect is the result of joining 2 buildings separated by a passageway. Towards 1886, they were integrated by a large central arch. The building, with its characteristic pink color, combines great quantity of dissimilar architectural elements. Although its 4 fronts are different, the construction looks sober and attractive. Works carried out during recent years enabled the discovery of remnants from the original fort and the old customs warehouse on the sector facing the river. It is interesting to visit them, as well as the Museum of Precedents, located in the basement of the building. On the northern side of the square is the monumental neoclassical facade of the Metropolitan Cathedral. It was built on the ground indicated by the founder, Juan de Garay, but it is the 7th church built on that site. The first ones, made of mud and straw, deteriorated, being replaced by others, which in turn suffered damages, collapsed, and were demolished. The construction of the present cathedral was initiated in 1745. Its front, with columns which symbolize the 12 apostles, and a tympanum with a low relief producing the arrival of Jacob in Egypt, was finished in 1862. But the interior of the building continued to be modified. To its religious importance, the church adds the historical and aesthetic meaning of images, carvings, and sculptures that are framed by altars, cornices, ornaments, and paintings of a remarkable artistic value. One of the best examples is the tabernacle where the Holy Sacrament is shown in an exceptional work of art made of gold and silver, which is more than 2 meters long and weighs 110 kilos. On the front of the cathedral, attention is drawn by the Great Burner, where a flame burns forever. It is a memorial in homage to the greatest hero of Argentina, General José de San Martín, whose remains are in a mausoleum located in the interior of the church, and to the unknown soldier of the independence. Next to the cathedral and facing the Casa Rosada is the historical building which Argentines cherish most, the Metropolitan Cabildo, unmistakable for its colonial architecture, its whiteness, and its tower with a clock. It witnessed the May Revolution of 1810 that initiated the birth of Argentina and the collapse of the Spanish Empire in South America. The first Cabildo was built in 1609, but the final building was started in 1725. It had two floors and 11 arcades, making it 60 meters wide. In colonial times, its members met weekly in this building to take administrative, financial, construction, and judicial decisions related to Buenos Aires and its jurisdiction. During the independent period, it became the site of justice, and towards 1880, the modernizing fever caught Buenos Aires and led to the modification of its tower and its front. Afterwards, the opening of the Avenida de Mayo forced the demolition of three arcades on the northern side, and the diagonal Roque Sanz Peña eliminated another three in the southern part. Deprived of its tower, with only half of its original width and an Italian-style front, it was on the verge of completely disappearing. But in 1940, a conscientious restoration was initiated. The result was the present building. Narrower than the colonial one, it was rebuilt exactly as it looked in the 18th century. The museum inside exhibits plans, paintings, weapons, furniture, and other objects related to the building, plus the May Revolution and the British invasions, which Buenos Aires repelled in 1806 and 1807. Avenida de Mayo is the first luxury Buenos Aires could afford. Its opening in 1889 marked the end of the colonial city and the birth of a cosmopolitan and prosperous metropolis that attracted numerous immigrants. Born nearby the historical Cabildo, it symbolically connects the Casa del Gobierno with the Palacio del Congreso along 10 blocks flanked by buildings having a remarkably rich architecture. Since its inauguration, Avenida de Mayo has always been the place where elected presidents greet the people after assuming office, on their way from the National Congress to the Casa Rosada. The presence of enthusiastic crowds on such occasions has become customary. It also forms part of the itinerary followed by foreign authorities visiting the country. The tall buildings show the eclectic splendor of all styles, from the lively grace of Art Nouveau and the exuberance of the Italian Neo-Renaissance to the geometric styles of Art Deco and the variances of Neoclassicism and Baroque. In its construction, a whole generation of professionals participated, mostly of European background. They applied the latest technologies of the time, characterized by the use of iron, electric power, and even elevators, together with the noble bronze and the traditional marble. Famous cafes and restaurants open their doors, and top-level hotels, luxurious shops, and large stores prospered on both sides. At that time, Buenos Aires dreamt of becoming the Paris of South America, but Avenida de Mayo clearly reminds us of the Gran Via de Madrid. To walk along the avenue at leisure, observing details enables the visitor to appreciate facades of great ornamental richness. Sculptures, flower pots, atlantes, and caryatids supporting corbels and balconies, friezes decorated with angels and cherubs, or modillions and moldings full of female and male masks make the tour into an attractive experience. On the 800 block is the Gran Café Tortoni. Founded in 1848, it is the most antique café of Buenos Aires and the first one to have outdoor cafés in the summer. It is a traditional gathering place for artists, journalists, musicians, and writers. And its large room, decorated in the early century style, exhibits numerous pictures and paintings in honor of former customers. It centralizes a diverse cultural activity. Poetry readings, as well as jazz and tango shows, take place in the basement. Regarding buildings, very few stand out as much as the Barolo. The architectural mass is treated as if it were a piece of sculpture, rising on the Avenida with the grandeur of a fortress. Constructed in 1923, the 100-meter-high building was once the tallest in the city, with 24 floors, each with a different form. Its architect, Mario Palante from Milan, conceived all at monumental scale, as can be observed walking through the passage by which the Barolo connects Avenida de Mayo with the street Ippolito Irigoyen. The passage has arcades covering three levels. From the vaults, engraved Latin aphorisms invite to reflection. The decorated floor has large glass flowers, and from the ceiling hangs a group of enormous chandeliers. Fantastic creatures sustain lamps of exuberant size. Talking about lights, however, nothing surpasses the enormous revolving beacon which crowns the building. 300,000 candles make it visible from Montevideo, Uruguay. The mass of the Barolo displays its sensual greatness at a short distance from the Plaza del Congreso. And when observed in detail, it is difficult not to get lost in the labyrinth drawn by its concrete curve. Avenida de Mayo ends at Plaza del Congreso, an open space of great hierarchy. It was constructed in 1910 to allow the right perspective to the monumental building where the sessions of the Chambers of Deputies and of Senators, the legislative power, take place. This square has one of the most artistic statues in the city, El Pensador, the Thinker, of Auguste Rodin, and a large monument formed by several groups of sculptures and various figures in bronze. It is a homage to the two congresses that set the basis on which Argentina was founded. The Assembly of 1813 and the Congress that declared independence in 1816. The central motif is the image of the Republic overcoming obstacles and reaching prosperity. It is accompanied by allegories of youth and genius, children rounds and animal figures, especially condors, ready to initiate their majestic flight. All of them are distributed among grand stairs, columns, and balustrades. The group is complemented by a large fountain with a four-horse carriage and the representation of rivers Paraná and Uruguay, pouring their waters into a pool. The whole environment is dominated by the Congress building, a clear combination of Greek and Roman styles, which began to be constructed in 1898 on a design by architect Victor Miano, rich in ornamental details of bronze, granite, and marble. Its majestic structure is crowned by a great dome built with engraved bronze. On the southern part of the Plaza de Mayo begin the neighborhoods of San Telmo and Montserrat. Limits once precise, but have lost definition for the porteños of today, who gave them the generic name of Barrio Sur, the southern neighborhood. Since the colonial city was developed there, the area is the oldest of Buenos Aires, as evidenced by its old houses and numerous churches. The modern buildings have not diluted the ancient charm of the patios, the shadowy corridors, and the iron filigree of balconies. Many of those houses belonged to distinguished families until a terrible yellow fever epidemic, which devastated the city in 1871, provoked a massive exodus of the richest to the northern part of the city. The spacious houses were then partitioned and subdivided, giving origin to the conventillo, a name given to tenement houses where thousands of immigrant families shared their needs with the poorest local population. It was in that environment that the tango developed. The area constitutes today one of the most charming itineraries of the city, taking advantage of its old features, antique shops, restaurants, and tanguerias. San Telmo created an active nightlife. There are galleries entirely devoted to the sale of souvenirs, antiques, and curious objects. Every Sunday at the small Plaza Dorrego in the heart of San Telmo, there is a fascinating fair of antiques, curious objects, and artisan works, enriched by the presence of outdoor musicians and dancers who play and dance tango for local and foreign visitors. Another corner where the charm of the old Buenos Aires can be appreciated is the neighborhood of La Boca, which was born as a sort of independent settlement around the small port to become later, towards 1880, a colony of Genovese immigrants. With high sidewalks to protect the houses from the frequent floods affecting the area in the past, its streets run between houses made of wood and sheet metal, painted with vivid colors. Two enormous bridges over the Riachuelo dominate the sky of La Boca from above. The dark profile of the old transporter bridge, true representative of the iron architecture, is an irresistible temptation for those who love the art of photography. The presence of old naval stores, warehouses, and shipyards, complemented by ships out of service, anchored in the oily Riachuelo, take the visitor back to 1940. The landscape and its protagonists were shown by the paintings of various artists, but none reached the level of Benito Quinquela Martín, whose sensitivity reflected the life of La Boca and vigorously promoted his cultural activities. The school museum, Pedro de Mendoza, was built on land donated by the painter. In that building, there is a theater and a museum of fine arts with works of numerous artists. On the third floor, Quinquela Martín lived and worked during more than 30 years, and some of his most important paintings are exhibited there. Walking along the street Caminito, it is possible to appreciate the significance of artworks as an expression of the spirit of this neighborhood. Caminito is a diagonal street, used to be crossed by trains of the now closed down cargo railway. Sculptures and mural paintings are exhibited. Painters and artisans offer their works to the public with a colorful frame of the neighboring houses. That passage received the name Caminito, pays tribute to one of the best-known tangos by Juan de Dios Filberto. It is therefore quite natural to play and dance tango there, even with visitors who get involved. Visitors can very soon realize that although in Buenos Aires there are restaurants satisfying all tastes and habits, the Italian and Spanish influence on the gastronomy of the porteños is very strong. And they will be certainly surprised by the high figures of beef consumption. At present, Argentines are in the process of diversifying their diet, but they continue to be the greatest beef consumers in the world. This becomes easier to understand after visiting a parrilla and looking at the variety of cuts and derivatives being grilled with firewood or coal. Porteños also love to prepare asado at home, and cherish to imagine a sunny Sunday, chatting with friends or relatives while the beef is grilled on the barbecue installed on the yard or the balcony, completing the party with one of the delicious red wines produced in the country. To prepare and eat the asado is a sort of ceremony, and the same happens with the mate, the other great national custom. Mate, a type of herbal tea, is taken in the family with friends and among work companions. And it is mandatory to invite the newcomer. To heat water, put the yerba in the mate, a gourd, place a metal type of straw in the correct way, and invite those present following a formal order is a ritual that was already practiced in Buenos Aires even before Argentina was born. So old is the custom that mates and bombillas are among the most remarkable pieces of handicraft produced by colonial silver and goldsmiths. Competing with them, only knives, which constituted the typical instrument and weapon of the gauchos and natives of Buenos Aires. Anyone can verify that on the walls of Buenos Aires, there is an army of creatures watching the passers-by. There are thousands of faces fixed on doors, lintels, and facades, whose immutable expression is only altered by the different incidents of light. They may be masculine and severe, or feminine and delicate, of classical style or stylized modernism, peaceful and happy or terribly furious, very often repeated on adjacent windows, or located in cement medallions in cameo style. Devils, chimeras, and mythological creatures with claws and membranous wings are also present in many buildings, revealing the tormented creativity of some molding designers. For relief of sensitive spirits, their presence is surpassed by the number of celestial armies represented by angels and cherubs. They appear around modillions, displayed the plenitude on their innocent beauty on the frames of windows, or play and frolic in merry congregation. Animals also participate in the ornamental contest without omitting genders or species. Parrots pecking fruit at balconies, serpents slithering up the walls, snails traveling over the fronts, and even enormous bees sitting on the upper part of doors. Eagles and condors display the power of the winged world supporting corbels and balconies. But if there is an animal that Buenos Aires has adopted as decorative pet, it is the lion. It may appear discouraging any ill-intended moderner with a fierce expression. Sometimes it decorates a locket, holding a ring with its fauces. It is common to find them with forcibly human expression, occasionally laughing openly, and at times trapped in human boredom. They can even be found sleeping, resembling shirking cats rather than jungle beasts. As time passed, the ornamental fever, which invaded the architecture of Buenos Aires from 1870 to 1930, became an exceptional entertainment for those who take pleasure in discovering details and imagining stories. To intensely enjoy this activity, it is only necessary to walk slowly around the city, watching the building fronts carefully. Buenos Aires shows its most cosmopolitan aspect in the city, a name given to the 12 blocks located between the streets Rivadavia, Corrientes, Florida, and 25 de Mayo. The concentration of banks, financial offices, exchange brokers, and business corporations is the largest in the country. The area has numerous buildings with modern architecture designed to offer an image of opulence and solidity. The banking and financial bustle typical of this sector, crowded by rushing people, becomes commercial activity in the nearby Florida, the first pedestrian thoroughfare of Buenos Aires. Plants, flower shops, bookstores, music shops, kiosks selling national and foreign publications, art galleries, leather shops, and other elegant boutiques are characteristic of Florida. It has always been a sort of international window for Argentina, and its numerous shopping malls compete offering all kinds of novelties within a casual and attractive framework. The Galerías Pacífico, located at the 700 area of Florida, with access from four different streets, are one of the most traditional and, at the same time, most updated places in Buenos Aires. They date back to the end of the 19th century, when there was a project to build a center that would surpass the Galerías Vittorio Emanuel of Milan. The works were partially carried out, and the installations became successively a cultural center, fine arts museum, office building, and commercial center. Their present appearance is the result of recycling, which modernized them entirely, preserving their rich ornamentation and increased the value of the exceptional paintings on the ceiling. The central dome, divided in sectors corresponding to each one of the four entrances, was painted by Antonio Berni, Lino Eneas Spilimbergo, Juan Carlos Castanino, and Demetrio Urrochua. These frescoes and mural paintings are the most important of Argentina. The Galerías are today a large shopping mall extending to three levels connected by stairs, corridors, and escalators. They have more than 150 shops, including tea shops, cinemas, and restaurants. A vast sector devoted to cultural activities has special rooms for training courses, art exhibitions, conferences, and artistic shows.
We have shared this part two of this documentary called Dear Buenos Aires, which is very comprehensive, and it goes on for a little more than an hour. It was produced about 20 years ago as a Spanish language documentary, and then it came in other languages. The English version is very good, and we edited this video piece into a radio piece that we have divided into several parts for airing it on our show. But you can check this out also with images of Buenos Aires. Just look up for it as Dear Buenos Aires on YouTube. Tomorrow we'll have part three, okay? And with this, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, for Thursday, January 23, 2025. Our sound technician was Gloria Sarmiento, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI on the frequency of 5,850 kHz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar, as well as our app for mobile devices. Digital RAE that you can download for free, available for both Apple and Android phones. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Hasta mañana.